You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
And so in verse 7, he says to Timothy, again, a pastor, his son in the faith or spirit, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound. Come on. It's good to know what God, number one, has given you. But it's also just as good, just as important to know what God has not given you. Come on. Let me say it another way. It's good to know what comes from God, but it's also good, important, vital, necessary, essential to know what didn't come from God. So that I don't receive something, woo, that God never intended for me to have. And I don't want to do that. Amen. Where my witnesses at? I don't want to do that. I don't even want to be walking around with something that God didn't give me. Oh, I may anger somebody in the introduction. I don't even want to be connected with a person that God doesn't want me connected with. See, I'm going to help somebody today. Your circle doesn't always have to be big. You just need the right people in your circle. And sometimes God has to protect us by shrinking our circle. Come on, that's some of your problem now. You used to being around everybody. You used to telling everybody your business. When God gets ready to bless you, when God get ready to elevate you, sometimes he'll start shrinking your circle. Because as your circle shrinks, so does the voices in your head or in your ear. It just allows you to concentrate more when there are limited voices. Some of you got too many voices in your head. God speaks to you, but then you got to run to this person and run to that person and what you think I ought to do. Why are you going over there anyway asking them? If God told you what to do, just do it. Just do it and know everything's going to be well. Just do it and know everything's going to work out. But when you run to people, sometimes we do it until we get the answer that we want to hear. Come on, I'm finna come in. Y'all know how I do it. Take me a while to get that on. He wants you to know, I know it, what he did give you. But remember, he loves Timothy, just like God loves us. Just like God finna make this word plain for us today. He gonna do so because he loves us. He know what you're going through. He know what you're battling. And he wants you to know that there is something that if it tries to influence you, it didn't come from God. That being, notice again, and then I'm going to give you the subject. For God has not given us is the brethren, the believers, the saints, the church, a spirit of fear. Spirit of fear didn't come from God. Spirit of fear didn't come from God. I want to talk from this subject this morning. The spirit of fear is demonic. I want to teach on this subject this morning. The spirit of fear is demonic. The spirit of fear is demonic. It did not come from God. It has nothing to do with God. Amen. Can y'all help me say the subject? The spirit of fear. Say it again.
The spirit of fear is demonic.
Can you say it a little bit louder?
The spirit of fear is demonic.
And let's give God a praise for the text and the subject. The spirit of fear is, come on, demonic. It's demonic. It is, when something is said to be demonic, it simply means that it is of or pertains to the devil, Satan. When something is demonic, it pertains to or has to do with the devil, our adversary. If you're taking notes this morning, sadly, some people are infatuated, even obsessed with the demonic. Come on, I said sadly, some people are infatuated or obsessed with the demonic. You can say amen, because when we wasn't saved, come on, as sinners, we had some type of attraction to that which was demonic or evil. You know how folk used to tell us before we got saved, and you hear somebody testify and they say that God delivered them out of a miserable life of sin. And while we were sinners, when we heard that, it didn't sound right. Oh, come on. Y'all know I'm teaching good. It didn't sound right. It didn't sound right because we were not only in sin, but we were enjoying the sin that we was in. And we felt like they didn't know what they were talking about. I heard plenty of saints say that God delivered them out of a miserable life of sin. But when I look back at the mess that I was caught up in, a lot of it, sadly, I enjoyed. Most of it, I developed an attraction for it. Oh, let me preach it right. In other words, I went after sin. I pursued sin. And it wasn't until I recognized Romans 6:23, which says that the wages of sin is death. Come on. And then the writer talks about, listen, church, the passing pleasures of sin. See, sin has pleasure. That's when we're attracted to it. It has pleasure. Sometimes it is more pleasurable, especially to the flesh, hear me out this morning, to do wrong than it is to do right. Because of instant gratification that we get in the flesh, sometimes in our bodies when we sin. This is when you tell folk to leave certain things alone, if they have developed an attraction for it, they don't want to let it go. I'll break it down. The woman knows the man is no good, but she won't let him go. Come on, yeah, she's chasing him more than he's chasing her. He's a sinner. She's supposed to be a saint. Come on, anybody here beside your pastor ever been attracted to the wrong thing? Felt like the wrong thing just pulled on you. Just knew you by your name. Come on. You could be sitting there trying your best to stay out of evil. But evil, watch this, had your number. It had your number. Listen to me. And cell phone wasn't even out there. Yet evil knew how to get in touch with me. Y'all ain't ever just been somewhere just trying your best. Watch this, to be good. Come on, I'm looking at some of y'all. You were trying your best to be good until your eyes saw something that was attractive to you. Come on, it can be a scent in the air. You know, nowadays, this stuff they smoke in there is so strong. You can get behind a car and get a contact high for driving too close. Come on, y'all ain't had to pass nobody because you didn't want to get high. I got to get on behind these folks. You can walk by people and the scent is so strong on them. Come on, come on, come on. Now to somebody who never dealt with that, never dabbled in that, this smell won't bother you. It will be a smell that you don't like. You just like, come on, y'all. But to a farmer, weed smoker. To a farmer, blunt roller. What has you going? Has them going? Y'all know, some of y'all don't want to act like you don't want nobody to know you smoke. I understand. That's where you have to take your time and rightly divide the word of truth. Because it could be somebody in church that wants to say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm enjoying sinning. I'm living it up. I'm turning up out here. But the thing you don't recognize while you're turning up is that the devil or demons are seeking to turn you out. The way people get turned out is through turning up. Understand too that demons love when people are attracted or fascinated with them. Come on. This is the reason, don't y'all get mad, but you know it ain't gonna matter if you do anyway. This reason so many people consider Halloween fun. Worshipping death, fun. Worshipping evil, fun. Mimicking ghosts and demons, fun. You have an attraction for evil. And if a person like me comes along and breaks down what the worship of Halloween is truly all about, then people say things like, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. See, but it's based upon, y'all get what I'm saying? Your attraction to that which is evil. Not only is the spirit of fear evil, the spirit of fear, if you're taking note, is unholy and it is profane. As children of God, we shouldn't desire any connection with that which is evil, unholy, or profane. And of course, you have to learn this. You have to be taught this. Come on. Because when you get saved and get in the church right, your thinking has to change. Come on, let me say it like this. Your thinking has to evolve. A lot of people want what God has for them, but they don't want to go about it or go about getting it God's way. See, your thinking has to evolve. I was glad to grow up in the old church when the old saints used to talk about elevate your mind. Come on, I ain't got no old saints in here. Elevate your mind and let's go what? Hot. Let's go what? So we always equated the elevation of the mind as going higher. So we didn't fight it. If I want to go higher, I got to elevate my mind. What is your mind? Your mindset or your thinking? Your thinking. You have to elevate how you see things. At one point, Pastor, I didn't see anything wrong with it. But the closer I got to God, I looked at it through his eyes or through the word. And I started backing up. See, you begin to see more clearly. Are y'all with me thus far? Because we're going to get into a little meat of it. Because the spirit of fear is demonic. It's evil. It's unholy, it is profane. And I want to get into some things real quick. Notice Proverbs 3. I want to deal with something. Y'all just hold on here this morning. Proverbs 3. Remember, Paul was writing to Timothy, a pastor, not only desiring to see the ministry do well, but Paul wanted to see Timothy as the pastor, as the leader. He wanted him to do well. Proverbs 3 and verse number 7. Let's deal with what is evil. Let's deal with the profane and let's deal with the unholy. Amen. That we can get a good understanding. I love Jeremiah 3:15 because God said, and I will give you shepherds. Listen, or pastors. Listen, according to my heart, my mind, who will feed you with knowledge and what? Understanding. When a man of God is before you teaching or preaching, you should be receiving knowledge and understanding. That if you apply knowledge, if you apply understanding to your life gets better. Your life gets better. Come on, I should have got way more clap. Your life gets better as you apply knowledge and understanding. You grow up from applying knowledge and understanding. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. Come on, saint. But when I became a man, or when I became mature, notice what he did. What he said he did. He said, I put away what? Childish things. You wonder why you don't put away childish things. You haven't matured. And the only way to mature is to apply knowledge and understanding to your life. In other words, don't just come to church and hear the word. Come to church, hear the word, and do the word. Do the word. Apply the word. Come on. Don't just amen the word and don't do it. How many know there are folk like that? They are amen the word. They'll out talk the preacher if you let them. It ain't going to do nothing with the word. No, we don't want to be that way, saints. Proverbs 3. Let's deal with this. Are y'all getting something? You enjoying the word this morning? Remember, every message ain't designed to make us dance and shout. I tried to allow you to get a little bit of that in before I started. Even though y'all were cutting up here. I could hear you downstairs. Oh, yeah. I say, Lord, your presence is in your house. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:7. Y'all got it? Do not be wise in your own what? Eyes. Let's just stop right there. Do not be wise in your what? In your own eyes. Can I break that down? Don't think that you know everything. This is how we mess up when approaching God. You think you know everything. This is when the proverb writer said, do not be wise in your own eyes. Eyes are not just literal, but eyes are figurative to a person's understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now notice what he said. Fear the Lord. And depart from what? Evil. When you fear the Lord, when you honor him, when you respect God, and God is his word, you will find yourself departing from evil of that which is wrong. That's how you know you fear God. Because when it comes to evil, you get away from evil. Uh-oh, let me drop this big one on you. I said when you fear the Lord, you get away from eating. Let me put some space between me and eat. Let me depart from that. Why? I no longer practice that. Departing from evil. This is what may get me in trouble. Departing from evil sometimes means departing from kinfolk. Got to put some. And I know it, the claps always go down when I talk about folk kinfolk. Yeah, dude, it always go down. Because some of us will stick with the wrong people just because you some kin. But see, when it comes to departing from evil, saints, we have to be serious about doing that. And know when you do it up front. Know this. People are going to accuse you of thinking you think you're better than us. You think you're special. You think you're perfect. No, ain't but one perfect, and that's God. No man is perfect. No man is flawless, saving the Most High. But I'm not going to set up and entertain evil just to please you. And parents, you have to rear your children. Raise your children to depart from evil. Watch it when you're not around. Teach them well. Train them up well. You know how you do that, parent? Let them know what evil did to you. You can't hold a child's hand 24/7. You have to instill in them that everything that looks funny ain't funny. Think about this when you were with Pastor. I don't want to hurt my child's feeling. Hurt them. Hurt their feeling. Hurt their feeling and save their life. Hurt their feeling and spare them pain. Hurt their feeling, keep them out of jail. Hurt their feeling, keep them disease free. Yeah, there's somebody here. You didn't want to hurt your son's feeling, and now he's locked away. And when you visit him, you know what he tell you? Mama, I wish you'd hurt my feelings. Mama, I wish you'd have told me the truth. Instead of always covering for me, defending my wrong. That's the truth right there. But I know we live in a time now where there are so many false pastors and preachers and teachers who want to make God's people think that you can be involved in evil and God doesn't have a problem with you. You know, folks will tell you all the way, you know, I go to church too, but we don't do all. Our pastor said, we ain't got to do all that. What scripture he give you? Well, Pastor, I know I need to get myself together. I recognize, man of God, that right now I got 1 foot in the world and I got 1 foot in the church. Impossible. You can't straddle a fence that's not there. God said either you are holy or unholy. Either you're saved or you're lost. Either you're blind or you can see. That's what he said. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now. Was he talking literal? No, spiritually. I know right from wrong. It's hard to deceive a person who knows right from wrong. I don't care how much you try to color wrong up. Come on, fornication is wrong. Fornication is wrong. Fornication is wrong. Fornication doesn't just cover adultery. Fornication covers any illicit sex act. Homosexuality is wrong. It'll never be right. It'll never be right. The government can make it legal, but they can't make it right. A man shouldn't be with a man. A woman shouldn't be with a woman. But you know, listen, be serious. But do you know saints are changing their mind on that based upon not offending somebody in their family who happens to be that way? Instead of just telling them, look, I love you, but I don't agree with your lifestyle. But I gotta move on. But do y'all see how we are to depart from evil? Okay, Leviticus, go to Leviticus. Yeah, we got to depart from evil. And the reason some folk can't, listen, be careful, you turn to Leviticus 10. The reason some people struggle getting free and staying free, they won't depart from evil. They won't depart from evil. They won't get away from it. Whenever you come into God and you've had a previous struggle, don't continue hanging around with people who embrace that struggle. You're never going to change. You're not in an atmosphere that produces change. Come on. Y'all know I'm right about that. When I got saved and I was addicted to gambling, I had to depart from people, and they didn't understand it, who I knew was addicted to gambling. Listen, and they didn't want to change. They didn't want to stop. Do y'all hear me? But I had to depart from that. Notice Leviticus 10. Oh, Lord. I had to depart from that. Whenever you, like I said, in time past, you have been addicted to something or attracted to something, most saints won't tell you this, but I will. It takes time to totally break free. Now, saints will know that's true, but you got so many people in the church who get saved and they just act like they were born saved. You know these folk, when you talk to them, they don't know how to say hello. How you doing today? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Ma'am, I'm just trying to get this right here. Mm-mm. Some of us make folk think that we got saved one day and then next day we just, look at me. Y'all know how we do it? Look at me. No, we didn't. Oh, Lord. It was, got myself together. It was boom. It was getting back up. It, boom. Come on. Y'all remember them days? Boom. And the boss say, when you boom, I got to get to church. I got to pray more. I got to fast. Come on. You didn't just cut everything loose. No. No. Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10 and 1. Notice this. I'm going to start speeding up a little bit. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered, listen to me, profane fire before the Lord. Profane, strange fire. Notice the wording carefully. Which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be, look, listen to God, I must be regarded as holy. One writer said, be ye holy, for I am what? Don't fight holiness. Don't fight holiness. Holiness is bigger than a denomination. Holiness is of God. That's the problem. Most people, they try to connect holiness to a denomination. No. Holiness is God. And the one writer said, and without holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. No, even if holy people or people who claim to be holy, even if they are proved to be, somebody need to listen to me, the biggest hypocrites, it doesn't make holiness wrong. It makes them wrong. Come on, you don't stop coming to church because you see hypocrites in the church. You keep coming because you're going to be totally different than those hypocrites. Well, Pastor, I just had to get out of church. Too many hypocrites. Did you quit your job? Sure, hypocrites there. Stop going to restaurants? Because the cook ain't nothing but a hypocrite. You want no hypocrite cooking your steak, do you? You want a hypocrite frying your shrimp? These are tactics of the enemy. Folk leave a good church because of people. That means you let people run you out of a place where God sent you, where God put you. And sometimes, check them, Pastor. Sometimes they run you out because they know you their replacement. God done got tired of they mess. And now he bringing in, see, God's ability to raise up a preacher, a minister, a deacon. They don't have to go to school. I know God's sending good folk to this church, because we need help. We need help to do everything God has ordained for us to do. And it's bigger than the city of Noonan. It's bigger than West Washington Street. But notice this. And Moses said to Aaron, notice what Moses said. Moses is a lawgiver. Notice what he said to Aaron. Aaron is the first high priest. And he happened to be Moses' brother. I said he happened to be Moses' brother. Now let's see, go back to what I said earlier. Listen to me now. Moses understand that his nephews, Aaron's son, have just been killed for doing something profane. Yet Moses does not defend their actions. He don't go to Aaron and say, I don't know why God, you know, God just be tripping sometimes. Why do your sons like that? See, sometimes you got to recognize when judgment falls, it falls. I know you shouldn't get angry with God. If you done told a person time after time, you need to change, and they refuse to change, when judgment hits, don't get upset with God. Come on, do y'all see this? I got to move forward. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. I must be glorified. Notice Leviticus 10 and 10. All you got to do is drop down to that 10th verse. Notice what he also said. Now he's given Aaron instructions as the high priest. I'm not going to deal with the instruction, but notice verse 10. As a result of those divine instructions, y'all hang in here, Leviticus 10 and 10, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and what? Clean. How many recognize that God want his people to be able to distinguish? Listen to me. To distinguish simply means know the difference. Know the difference. Somebody really need to listen to me this morning. Know the difference between, notice this, that you may distinguish or know the difference between holy and unholy. See, that's something we need to know, especially in the time in which we live in. You have to be able to not only look at a thing, a person, allow God to help you discern, is this holy or is this unholy? And sometimes it's not always done with the natural eye. Sometimes it's done with spiritual, or what I should call divine discernment. God allows you to know the difference. Come on, because again, I said it earlier, we ain't all know it, but if you truly desire to know the difference between holy and unholy, I got witnesses in here, and I'm one. God will show you. He'll show you that difference. If you really want to know if God is in a thing or not, he'll show you. He'll show you whether his presence abides in this place. Listen, including your home. You can ask God, Lord, do my house please you? Does the things we do up in here, does it please you, Lord? And he will talk to you. Come on. Hold on. It's all born out of the main question, Lord, do I please you? Come on. Do I please you? Are you pleased with the way I think? Are you pleased, Lord, with the way that I talk? Are you pleased with my actions? Watch on my choices. Do the things that I do, Lord, please you? Or do they upset you? I talked years ago about how in marriage, I hit a point, don't look down on me, where I could only see in my marriage Donna's faults. I could only see what she was doing wrong. I should have knew I was on the wrong path when she said to me one day, do I do anything right? And see old dumb boy here. Yeah, dumb boy. I said, I didn't even say, girl, yeah, you do play. I'm just like, I'm so fed up. I don't know. And she said, well, you know, you ain't perfect. And I said, if I done did something, just show me. Y'all know how we are. Just show me. Now, take in mind, it didn't matter what she said. I wasn't ready to hear it. I wasn't going to hear it. But I did this right here. I said, Lord, if it's me, show me. Show me me. Show me myself. Y'all, what came next? He got to showing me so much stuff. I said, Lord, I get it. I get it. I'm the problem. But no, he didn't just say it like that. Then he started teaching me why I was the problem. He told me, he said, you are the head. See, there is Christ. Oh, there is man. Uh-oh, so women finna get mad. Then there is one man who came out of man. Man is the head of woman. But I wasn't acting like no head. I wasn't behaving like no head. I wasn't taking, oh, I got what, 2-3 brothers said, I wasn't taking responsibility like a man. And God said, if you're going to be a true head, you got to let me work on you, son. And stop always pointing the finger. Stop being like Adam. Adam told God after Eve and he had messed up. He told God, it's the woman you gave me. Oh, and ever since then, men have been blaming women. Pastor, you just don't know how she is. I know she act like this at church, Pastor, but she really like this. Well, brother, you know you chose her now. Your choice. Woo, that hit a man hard right there. Your choice, brother. So this man told this story of a man who kept telling his wife, you're just stupid. You're just stupid. You just make dumb decisions. You just make dumb decisions. Every time I turn around, you're just making dumb decisions. You're just stupid. So he walked up on her one day and she was looking at the wedding photo album of them at the altar. And she said, I do make dumb decisions. Woo, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Let's get back to 2 Timothy. We got to close. We got to close. 2 Timothy. See, God is helping us today. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Notice. Let me get to 2 Timothy. I'm in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Hold on. For God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Somebody shout, it didn't come from God.
If you're taking note, understand, when it comes to the spirit of fear will attack us. I need y'all to really understand what I'm about to teach in this close. Spirit of fear will attack you. Being spirit means that I'm being attacked by something that I can't see, but I can hear it. Come on, you better understand me. Spirit of fear attacks the mind. Come on. See, it's spirit. You can't literally see unless it's moving through a person. You see the person, but yet you still don't see the spirit. The same way you see the effects of the wind, but you've never seen the wind. Come on, somebody. You've never seen the wind, but you believe in it, right? You see it move things. And if the wind start blowing paper and such, we always say, man, the wind is cutting up, but you don't really see it. See, sometimes the spirit of fear is attacking. You can't literally see it, but listen to me, but it attacks you and it speaks to you. Are y'all hearing me? The spirit of fear, it speaks to us. This is important. Despite what false preachers teach, a spirit-filled believer can never be possessed by a demon. Come on. You can never be possessed by the spirit of fear. But listen very carefully, because this is where church folk get it wrong. But we all can be influenced. And see, that's all the spirit of fear wants to do. If the spirit of fear knows that it can't possess me because I'm spirit filled, but it recognizes that it can influence me, listen, and have control over my decisions. Come on. Because if you take it, no, the spirit of fear will always try to get us to get out of God's will. This is what it's all about. When the spirit of fear is attacking you, it wants you to get out of God's will. Get out of God's will. Do what you shouldn't do. Say what you shouldn't say. Think in ways you shouldn't think. And there are folks in church this morning, because of some things you're battling, the spirit of fear has not only attacked you, but it is now working to influence or to control you. What happened when God tell people to give and the spirit of fear say, you know, you can't afford to give that. Well, you need to do right by God in the tithes and in all. Well, you know, I just ain't in no position. I can't afford to do that. No, you can't afford not to do it, because you need a change. You need a better way of living. You need to stop depending on yourself and depend on God's word. But the spirit of fear wants to what? Influence. Are y'all here with me? Yes, it do. If God tells you to go, the spirit of fear wants to influence you to stay right where you at. And listen, and you'll hear God's voice just as clear. My sheep know my voice. God is saying, go. But the spirit of fear is saying, if you go, it ain't going to work out. Come on. You leaving the doctor's office. The spirit of God is telling you it's well. It's well. The spirit of fear is telling you it's over. It's over. Being spirit means, in this sense, I want you to really understand me, the spirit of fear becomes more powerful than that which is only physical. Because if something is only physical, it can only follow you so far. Come on, somebody. Come on. But being a spirit means that the spirit of fear can go with you everywhere you go. Does anybody know it to be true? You went on vacation, you didn't tell nobody where y'all were going. So they couldn't have followed you physically, a person, if they wanted to. But yet, on vacation, who was there with you the whole time when you wanted to do things, when you wanted to enjoy yourself? Spirit of fear was minding you of what was due back home. You can spend that if you want to, and y'all gonna pay for it later. You know you ain't got it. Come on. Even though God wants you to enjoy life, the spirit of fear is there to influence you or to control you. Oh, you can apply for that job, but just know you ain't qualified. And there's 10 more people better than you. See, but the spirit of God has told you this right here, Sunday morning, through a bald-headed, good-looking preacher. It is your season. And you may go in the office, they tell you, well, you know, we got 10 or 12 more folk before you. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'm up here because I got a mandate to be here. I came because the Lord said it is my season. But the whole time, watch this. Somebody know what I'm talking about. The whole time you're doing the interview, the spirit of fear is there trying to trip you up on what you're saying. Am I right? Notice Ephesians 4. We're moving real quick because we're done. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Yeah. I'm finna close for real, despite what the youth department put out. Ephesians 4, 27. It ain't gonna be no 20 minutes later. Some of y'all know what you're talking about. Go back and look at the Facebook. They did a great honor. They gave great honor to their pastor. And listen to me. I didn't argue when I seen the video. I said, they know they passed. Ephesians 4 and 27. I said, they know they passed. Ephesians 4 and 27. Nor give place to who? Y'all come on. Ephesians 4 and 27. Nor give place to who? The devil. See, listen. Remember, the spirit of fear is demonic. It's of the devil. Give no place to it. How do I do that, Pastor? Listen. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you entertain. Come on. Come on. I'm finna go in on some of us. See, the spirit of fear is attacking your mind. It's demonic. It's of the devil. It's evil, unholy, and profane. Yet you indulge in scary movies. Come on. Which Hollywood puts things on the big screen that has happened in real life. They take experiences with real demons, things that real demons say. They take things that witches really do. They take things that occult people, sacrifices to demons, all these evil things these folk do for real. They take it all, put it on a screen, hoping that you will, with your sanctified self, sit down and indulge in that for 2 hours. When you know something going on in your body and you need to rebuke it and believe God. But see, you've been sitting there the whole time entertaining evil. Now, how you gonna just turn the TV off and then just tell the devil, and I cast you out in the night? No, you won't. You can say words, but what you're entertaining is causing you to give place to what you should be fighting against. I tell my daughters all the time about their children. I don't care how Hollywood tries to fix it up. It's nothing pretty about a witch. You ever see how Hollywood want witches to look pretty and, you know what I'm saying? Attractive, get your attention. Ain't nothing pretty about that. This stuff is real. And when we entertain the wrong things, now we want to come back over and speak Bible. It don't work that way. James 4 and 7. I'm closing. It don't work that way. James 4 and 7. So you have to be careful what you entertain. Well, now Pastor up here trying to control my TV. No, I ain't trying to control your TV. But I am trying to help you to be careful what you entertain. And some of us have had bad dreams based off of what we entertained all day. Never forget, a brother came to me in the church years ago. Trying, Pastor, you got to see that movie. I said, what movie, bro? You just keep talking about a movie. What movie? Pastor, it just dragged me to hell. I looked at it. Brother, I'm on my way to heaven. Why I want to entertain anything that wants me to think that it's going to drag me to hell? And all of you that saw it, let me know it just then. You let me know it. I didn't watch it. And you know, when you get through watching stuff like that, you don't feel holy. You don't feel godly. Moses sit there the whole time jumping and scared. James 4 and 7. Oh, Lord. James 4 and 7. Therefore, submit to who? Therefore, submit to who? Resist who? Resist who? And he will what? He will what? He will what? See, if you resist the spirit of fear, because it's demonic, it'll flee from you. It'll leave you. This is what I had to learn. Resisting the spirit of fear, when it's attacking my mind, wanting me to doubt, wanting me to distrust God, I feel better for a moment. But guess what would happen when I was immature? The spirit of fear would come right back. And because when it came back, I said, well, maybe I'm not doing something right. Maybe God not hearing my prayer. And I would give up. Cause see, the spirit of fear, that's what it come to do, to make you give up. Not to trust God, to give up. Not to live by faith, but to doubt.
As I became mature, I recognized that I can resist the spirit of fear. It will flee. Some of you better listen, but it'll come right back. It'll come right back. And when it comes back, you got to do what you did. You got to keep resisting. Sometimes the spirit of fear will battle you all day on your job, all day long, with thoughts of how things are not going to turn out good. That's all you battling. All day is a thought that something bad is going to happen. And you know how some of y'all don't let a black cat run in front of your car. See, you ain't supposed to be superstitious. Know how you, I've been having thoughts all day. And now that black cat just ran in front of my car. And I'm going to etch my window. What you need to do, you need to get saved. That's what you need to do. You ain't got to go home throwing out no salt and pepper over your shoulders and all. I'm just glad I got my cross on today. I'm teaching good, but I'm finna let it go. Spirit of fear will continue attacking and attacking and attacking. And what do you do? What do you do? Yeah, you keep resisting, resisting, resist. You resist as much as it takes to put your mind at peace. At peace. It's where all things work together for good. Amen. I'm going to leave it alone. Let's give God a praise. Let's give him a big hand of praise. The spirit of fear is what? The money. Spirit of fear is what? The spirit of fear. Come on. Stand to your feet and give God a big hand of praise. Come on. Give him a big hand of praise. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at somebody standing near you and tell them the spirit of fear,
is also
anti-God.
Tell
your neighbor,
the spirit of fear
is against God.
Listen
to me. Whatever God tells you what to do, the spirit of fear is going to be against that. It's going to be against that. Anti also means instead of. Every time God gives you instruction, the spirit of fear is going to tell you, well, don't do that. Instead, do this. And you have to fight, child of God. And you can do it. Many of us know it. It's a proven, what Minister Cochran talked about weeks ago, a proven formula. You have to resist the spirit of fear. Some of you are going through something right now in your family, your job, your health, finances. And you know the spirit of fear has been attacking. And in many cases, it's been influencing people that are here this morning. It's been controlling you. You do and don't do based upon the spirit of fear. When you should do or don't do based upon the word. I want to pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your saints that gather to hear, to receive. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to know that the spirit of fear will attack our minds, our hearts. But Lord, you told us this morning that it is not of you. Therefore, Lord, we resist. Thoughts that come that are contrary to your word, Lord, we resist. When the spirit of fear wants us to say the wrong thing, Lord, we're going to be committed to saying the right thing. Because you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound. Lord, you've given us power. You've given us strength to do what you want us to do. You've given us the spirit of love, the ability for us to be committed to doing your will. And Lord, when we resist the spirit of fear, we take on what you've given us, which is a sound mind. And now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for saints, for brethren, that they will have a sound mind despite the attacks of the enemy. Situations that they're going through. We boldly proclaim that it is well. We thank you that this is our season. This is the year of rewards. Have your way in us even the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a